A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good evening, gang. So we are a little bit past 9:30. Yeah, dark 30, right? like to say, you know, I had a good evening this evening. Actually, just got through talking with the family and had everybody over to celebrate Clay's birthday. And good times. Had some enchiladas and rice and chips and salsa. You know, it's just, I know I said this the other day, but so here we are talking about food again. That's chips and salsa. You know, that's just like a go-to or a comfort food, something that's just it kind of just goes together. And so, I had some cheese dip, you know, Owen Lake, boy. I think Owen Lake could probably live off of nachos and cheese, or tortilla chips and cheese, however you describe those. But he loves that stuff. It's always fun watching him when he, you know, your kids, certain foods they don't like, but the foods they do like and they enjoy, it's good to see that. You know, Owen Lake, as much as I think that in these past couple days and even this week, he's had some struggles, but I tell you, I love that boy. And, he was on the couch tonight. We were watching the Hornets game there, and he kept falling asleep, and I would tickle him lightly, and he would just smile. So I hope he sleeps well tonight as he went to bed and carried on towards nighttime. But anyway, didn't really get a whole lot of anything accomplished. I actually took today off and just kind of went to the parts house and did some other running around. Went and got a haircut today. So yeah, I think I actually almost dozed off. You know, there's something about sitting in the chair while they're cutting your hair. Just kind of get a little sleepy there, you know. But got the weekend coming up, and here we are on Friday. And so I hope and pray that that your week has been well, has been good, and so therefore, you know, as we conclude, I also would just say, as always, if you do get to have some time off, enjoy it with the family, and go to church Sunday and worship the Lord. For us, you know, again, just kind of recap some things. I've reached out to a couple more people to have some guest speakers, and I think we'll try to get those people lined up and have their conversations. But I really have enjoyed the time and the opportunity to be able to share. It's awesome to have conversations. I mean, just today we were having a conversation with Jace's girlfriend and a friend of hers, and it was just cool sitting in the Waffle House, talking through life and talking through experience, and just kind of hearing where they're at and kind of what they want to do. And so, thankful that God has also allowed us to be in that season of life where now we have adult children and young children. So here we are, just the diversity of it all. But, you know, love the family, and pray for these young people as they try to make decisions based upon what they feel, again, led as far as their future. And so, was good talking with them. So just kind of want to close out with a few thoughts here, and James, and we worked through all the way to verse 12, but Moving on into verse 13. It says this, let no one say, in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And so I would dare say, you know, we've started off this whole process of James basically describing, you know, to consider it all joy, my brothers, in verse 2, when you encounter various trials. You know, the significance of, I would say even through this podcast, is that we all are going to face things during our life. And I've said this repeatedly. And I think the challenge comes into play is that whenever those instances happen to where maybe we are facing things that, again, maybe we've never went through before, right? So each day is a new day. And so every week is different in how things happen. I mean, if I rewind and look back through this week, I mean, there are rituals or things that I do repeated, you know, over and over. But as far as like how everything kind of progressed and came to be, again, it's been a different week. And of course, Lord willing, next week will be another week, and I'll go through some same detail. But, you know, the way those events fall out is just, it will be dynamic in its own way. And so I think that for us, as we go through these seasons of life, and we've never been through these things before, then, you know, our reaction and how we handle those things, how we endure those things, how we persevere, how we continue to walk in the midst of that adversity or whatever it is that is kind of in front of us, and we're trying to also filter out everything else. And I think James is basically saying, you know, those seasons of life will come, and the difficulties and the trials and the ways in which it we're basically just trying to get through, right? Some of us are maybe at a point right now even to where I am just trying to, you know, get through and function to some capacity. That you know, you as you do that, the basis of almost getting to a point to where maybe you're wore down, maybe you're tired, maybe you're frustrated, maybe, you know, there's all these different variables and how your emotional response could kind of react towards those things. But here we are, is that, you know, sometimes I think what happens in the midst of those times where it is difficult or trials come our way is that we could maybe lean into being tempted to go a different direction, in that direction being towards sin and the pattern that, you know, kind of comes to some place to where it yields nothing that's really beneficial or healthy for us as believers or followers of Christ, you know, because as James says, ultimately sin is death. And so therefore we've worked through the whole process, as we've kind of read through these verses, of how that looks, is that, you know, God in himself is no sin. So therefore he is a holy and just God. And therefore there's nothing that's, there's nothing there that's evil. There's nothing there that's in the realm of being where our mentality operates on a daily basis. God doesn't, again, he's not within those constraints, if you will. So God himself cannot even be tempted. He himself cannot even be tempted. There is no nature of evilness and no capacity for being evil within the realm of how God operates. And so therefore, if that's the case, then he himself does not tempt anyone. So we would say that in the midst of that, that as we go through those things, sometimes we may find ourselves, as a lack of better words, we would sometimes hear stories where people say, well, I was just vulnerable at the moment, or, you know, there was just so much going on at that time in my life to where I gave in. And then, you know, whatever that may have come to. But I think for us to look at this verse and see that it's, again, it's a choosing on our part, right? It's a choosing on our part to give into that temptation. It's not something that God is doing for us or through us. It's something that we're choosing to do. So that's the reason why James is saying is that God's not tempting you. You're just giving into sin. And a lot of times I think that's where we land for, again, those seasons of life that can be difficult and can be hard, you know. I have a good friend who described to me that when his mom passed, that, you know, his dad reacted in a way that he had never witnessed before. And some of his actions, you know, I'm not going to go into that dirty laundry there, but some of his actions basically proved very sinful. And you would look at a time of saying, okay, well, the loss of life, and maybe to a point you'd say, well, yeah, again, not from a judgmental aspect of saying how one would respond or not respond in looking at this man's life, but then the other sense is that, you know, well, God didn't put those things in front of him to take hold of. That was, again, he gave into that. And, you know, going back to what we described yesterday about the perseverance and to push on in the midst of those adversities that come before us. And I think that's the challenge that remains. And I would say that in the midst of, again, with what my friend was describing and how his dad responded to a situation of losing his wife, you know, at a younger age, that was difficult. And again, in that context, my heart breaks, you know, because I knew these people and I had a relationship with these people, and, you know, it was sad, it was difficult, and you know, you hated to have to go through that, but in the end, and even having that pain and that sorrow, in the depth that only that man knew. And losing his wife, I have no idea. And shame on me if I try to even imagine how he felt, right? I have no idea how he felt, but I do know this, is that even by his loss and even by his pain and the sorrow and the agony and maybe frustration of going through all these things that he was probably feeling. And again, that's my assumption, right? But I imagine he was feeling some things, is that the response of giving in during this season of life of losing his spouse. Again, the Bible's reminding us to persevere, to withstand. And that God will help us, because if he's a God that can't be tempted, if he's a God that cannot sin, if he's a God that is holy, if he is a God that in his nature, in his demeanor, and his promises towards truth, towards light, that he's all these things, right? Then we can endure because of him. So it's kind of like this. We can look at it like in a fork in the road. We can take hold of the truth that God provides that. It's not even an escape. I think there's more so of a tendency to give into some mindset to escape or flee this hurt and this pain by, you know, dealing with it in so many worldly ways. And again, that could come in food, that could come in sex, that could come in drugs, that could come in alcohol. You know, there's again, a multitude of ways in how the devil would love to put us in a place to where we're drawn and pulled away from having a right relationship with God. But God is working in such a way in our lives that in his word, he's reminding us, right, that he doesn't operate in that way. He doesn't operate in tempting us to do something wrong. Instead, he's desiring for us to do something that's very beneficial for us, and that's follow and trust him. Because we see his goodness and we see his character for who he is in the Bible. So when verse 14 says that, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, you know, taking that responsibility that I'm sinful. But through Christ and the ability that he's provided by his strength for my life, I can persevere, as James is saying. So in these trials and these adversities and these things that we face, you know, we can't say it's God's fault when I mess up. It's my fault. And the bigger picture in that is that, as I was describing with my friend, is that's also important for us to realize that even that when we do make those mistakes, right, that we repent and ask for forgiveness, because we see the byproduct again of what happens if we continue on in that sin. Verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. You know, and we would fully come to some point to where we would say that, you know, Jesus defeated death. But the only way that we ourselves will overcome death is to recognize that we are sinful creatures and therefore we need him. And to resist those things in which James is describing, not to give into a pattern of being tempted in the midst of whatever it is that we may be facing. And a lot of times that's where, again, you'd say people kind of get to that point of whatever it is that they are dealing with, that those struggles can be so overwhelming at that season of life that it's, you'd say you're easily... You could say, you know, you could even blame it at this, but that was just a time in my life where I was weak. And that's true. I mean, all of us can probably look back to testimonies of people where there were those instances where maybe they didn't follow through. But again, I think the recognition to come to this place and say, hey, you know, this is not something that I want to continue on in, because ultimately it will lead to this, and that is death. So we desire to go in the direction of following after Christ. And so he helps us in those times where maybe we just aren't able, we just aren't capable. But again, because of the intervention of Christ's power dwelling and living within us, it's not something, again, that we do. We do have the sensibility to say that we can give in to these things, but again, I feel that it's the power of God that works in and through our lives, as I've said many times, and how we get to a point to where we are drawn back, right? So we would say that there are some attractive baits to some point, and there are some things in which sin does seem attractive. But I feel that for the believer, there's a distinction there, right? There's a distinction for us. We would say that maybe there's not so much a place to where we would be drawn into that, to that sin, to where it fully consumes us in those moments or seasons. Maybe it causes some pain or even further mishap. I would say that has occurred in people's lives as they're facing trials, and maybe they went this other direction because they gave into the temptation of some sin, and then that carried them further away. But it's not to a point to where we can not be rescued by Christ. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that even in man's vision of saying, hey, somebody's just too far gone, that's not the case with God. Amen. That's the beauty of Christ, is that it's not too far gone. We may think it is, right? We would look at some people's lives that we've known. God can still work and move, and that's again a treasure. And so, brothers and sisters, I would say that in those hard times, in those seasons where it can get tough, choose Christ, choose His goodness, take pleasure in knowing that God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a just God. And as I would say, I know this is probably a repetitive thing, but it's very true. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think that's that in of itself, and knowing that because He is a good shepherd. And in those times of my life where I may give in to some place of where things look attractive, that's sinful, that He looks so much better. And it's so much better to be under His care for my life instead of the schemes of this world. A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I pray that we get to talk a little bit more next week.